I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Galaxy Defenders!
Well, I don't know. Tiss has got a load of stories, hopefully. What are you insuring, sir? Well, I've got this donut-shaped car.
Right, Tiss, whenever you're ready, take us into it.
Hello, and welcome to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable with me, your host this time, Tissy Boy. Co-hosts, as always, introduce yourselves.
I'm B.
Terrible.
Terrible.
I was like, that was like a Mexican standoff of like introducing ourselves. In that silence, right? I'm going to leave all that silence, but just put in like the Sergio Leone music, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly theme.
Oh, right.
This is Bob Shoy.
Sorry, mid-water. How you boys doing?
Mid-water.
Yeah.
It's hot.
It's really hot. I'm sat here topless.
We should get that out of the way, actually, listeners. It is the hottest day of the year.
I'm going to get topless.
We're really hot. So if there is any background noise of air conditioners or doors being open, just deal with it for one episode. It's too hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rachel's going to go work outside in a minute, so she'll walk through in a sec with her stuff. So you'll probably hear bits like that.
Unless I edit it out.
Yeah, well, exactly. Put your editing skills to the test.
I've been looking forward to this one, Tish. You've been hyping up a little bit.
Yeah, it better be good.
It's going to be good. I think it's going to be good. I hope it's
good.
I've never seen you so like hyped for one of your own episodes.
It's because I found a facts page, a facts page about this subject, and I think this guy just puts it so well. The way he words everything is just great. I think it's going to be a really fun one.
Okay.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
It's a conspiracy. It's
okay.
It's taken us back to, I feel like, what got me into conspiracies in the first place. Just hearsay, little tidbits of information you can find, and a website that draws it all together with some amazing conclusions.
It's really interesting that this has drawn you in, because at the end of recording the last episode, we were talking about how you especially were like all sort of burnt out on conspiracies, and the world is making conspiracies not fun anymore, and you were like craving that feeling you used to get when we started the show of conspiracies.
Yeah, definitely.
It feels like you found it.
This one's back to the alien conspiracies.
Wow.
Yeah. Well,
I have been wanting an alien episode for a while.
Well, it's kind of alien. It's kind of the Men in Black.
Oh, mate, I was planning on doing this because I wanted it to be done so much. So I'm actually glad that you've taken it off me.
Yes.
That's so cool. Awesome. I'm well up for this.
This is about the Men in Black.
Let's do it.
Through history.
This is an often requested episode as well. So this is going to please
Fantastic.
A lot of listeners.
I can't believe it's taken us, 5 years to get around to doing it?
I know.
Like this was requested a long time ago, and we were talking about it.
We've been talking about this forever, because we talked about it a little bit on the Mothman episode, because there's the Men in Black angle to that story.
At least we've got the outro music
from
this week.
Mothman. Yeah, from Mothman, we've been talking about Men in Black, and we've finally got around to it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So
I'm pumped for this one now.
Yeah. You know what? I researched it a week ago, and I'm still pumped. That's when you know the info's good. It's not like...
Yeah.
It's not like got a set foundation of sand where it just falls apart, because of the hype, you know. The hype lasts over the week.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go straight in with my first incident. It's quite a famous one to kickstart it. The Maori Island incident. I don't know if you guys have heard of this. This is kind of UFO alien stuff as well. So the aliens kind of come in and then the men in black take away the spotlight a little bit. But so this one is Harold Dahl and his sons were salvaging logs on a fishing boat when they spied six donut-shaped crafts flying in the air above them. The craft dropped molten waste onto the lake, sort of like they described it as like, like molten metal coming down, otherworldly, of course, which allegedly killed Dahl's dog, unfortunately, and injured his son. Whoa. Yeah, so it actually took a casualty out.
Pet of the week.
Pet of the week.
Jeez. Charred pet of the week.
Oh, bless. I don't even know what
that
breed.
That's so stupid. I'm so sorry.
It doesn't say what breed. And a few days later, after talking about the affairs with his boss and friends, he was visited by a mysterious man dressed all in black. Some tales actually say about two men in black. This one saying about one man in black, differing occasions. The man urged him not to discuss the encounter. Not long after, he was also visited by several Air Force agents who were said to be on a mission to gather information. Dahl's story definitely got the attention of various law enforcement agencies across the United States, leading to the FBI to write a report on the matter. So the report is the following in general. There's lots of redacted bits. Chicago Times. Yeah, I can't read that report. Not long after the encounter.
Lots of redactions, though.
Lots of redactions, but it was a genuine... I think it was a genuine report. It looks genuine. That's genuine enough for us.
that'll do. That should be our slogan.
The encounter. Yeah. It's true
it's
enough.
It's the next t-shirt. That'll do, Pig.
Not long after the encounter with the man in black, Dahl claimed that the whole thing was a hoax, but recanted years after, having allegedly made the first confession under duress. So there's more facts about this one, but initially, yeah, so the men in black, if I was to expand on this article, because I've seen a lot more about this particular story, there was two men in black that basically were... They didn't outwardly say not to talk about anything specific. It was more asking him what he'd seen and making him know that it was in his best interest to not pass this information on. It's in your best interest to, you know, keep this under your hat. The report
Sinister.
Found that the molten material was apparently aluminum. And that the Air Force agents were said to try and pass it off as a weather balloon. That old get out. Weather balloon.
Classic, that one.
Classic. Jeez.
Weather balloons. Always the weather balloon.
Don't they literally use that one in the film, Men in Black?
Do they really?
I think so. He says something. Or trapped gas of some sort. Weather balloon.
Trapped gas. Yeah.
It's been years explosion. Since I've seen Men in Black.
I need to rewatch these.
Yeah, we should have done it for your research because it's very factual.
Yeah, exactly. Based on true events.
Yeah, the dog, the talking dog in particular, is quite astute. Yeah, so what do you think about that? That six flying donut shaped discs killed his dog. That's pretty.
The men in black element of it, of them like turning up after an unexplained event and basically using intimidation tactics to, you know, tell the person to keep what they've seen under their hat or whatever, is very classic from what I've seen and heard of men in black stories. So are we to believe there's a secret like section of the government called the men in black or called something that we don't know, but they all dress in black? It's a bit... goofy, isn't it? It's a bit wacky to think about.
That they always have the same clothes.
Yeah.
In other ones that I'll go on to, there's a lot of, They always seem to be identical as well. That's something that comes up quite a lot.
Yeah, they always look really similar. It's kind of, especially the X-Files, isn't it? They all like Mulder.
Yeah.
They all Mulder into one after a while. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, that was terrible. Yeah, it's weird. I don't necessarily actually believe that. I mean, there's definitely branches of government that we don't know about.
But like the Men in Black.
Yeah, but the concept I agree with, but the dress code seems a bit peculiar. Like, I don't know.
Don't all government types wear black suits, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, but normally you'd wear like a jazzy tie, wouldn't you? Or
would you?
I would. If I worked in an office. I worked in an office, I used to wear a jazzy tie. It's the only way of...
Did you shake down ufologists?
Did you have a collection of novelty ties?
Yeah, I've got a few. We want to get your identity out there.
This represents me perfectly.
Did you ufologists?
Nothing too crazy.
For their insurance.
No.
Your insurance claim's about to run out, mate. You should keep that under your hat.
What are you insuring, sir? Well, I've got this donut shaped car. That's the other part of it that seems weird to me, is like it's always like the same conversation. Like, I think you'll find that it's within your best interest to not mention this any further. You're like, all right. Well, what happens if I do? Bad stuff.
They'll make you disappear.
Well, don't know.
Well, maybe. Have you ever heard of anyone who's come out about this stuff before who didn't disappear?
Well, how come we keep hearing about it? We keep hearing about these blokes that just turn up and tell you to... Well, I don't know. Tiss has got a load of stories, hopefully.
Hell of a lot.
So Beef, you're not a believer of the...
You're not a believer.
I don't know. There must be parts of the government that we're not, that we don't know about. There will be, you know, like James Bond. I'd like to believe
that believes in James Bond.
Ironically, James Bond always wears a black suit as well.
Yeah,
but that you can believe.
No, he doesn't. No, he's got a much more diverse wardrobe than that.
Yeah, he wears these novelty ties and really get his personality across.
It's got like one of those spinning bow ties that he uses with Moneypenny.
Exactly. He does a Frank Butcher on it.
Moneypenny.
That's a deep East Enders cut for anyone from the 90s.
Hello, Pat. Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we're Philippines tonight, right?
So, I've just found another part. Chrisman and Dahl. So Chrisman's added to the mix here on this account. Chrisman and Dahl claimed to Kenneth Arnold, an aviator who claimed to see several UFOs in the area around that time, in the first UFO sightings ever recorded in the modern era. So this is day dot, apparently, of a ufologist sort of thing. Maybe someone can pick us up on that. Maybe chat and shit. But this is 1947, refers to the claims made by Fred Chrisman and Harold Dahl of the falling debris threats by the Men in Black following sighting an unidentified flying object in Maury Island and Puget Sound, which is Washington. So Chrisman and Dahl, in this account, says, claimed to Arnold that they were at the harbour patrolmen on a workboat near Maury Island and that they saw six donut-shaped objects, bloody, bloody, blah, blah, blah. The white metal thing again, approached by a man in a dark suit. While even the claim that Chrisman and Dahl were harbour patrolmen is now believed to be false, Arnold was convinced by their story and contacted the Air Force intelligence officer, who flew in along with another from California. The officers concluded the metal objects were aluminium, and not of interest. They did not reveal this to Arnold, however, to avoid embarrassing him. The officers then died in a crash on their way back to California.
Ooh.
Okay.
Spooky.
The FBI then proceeded to investigate this case, the case of the case, and concluded that Chrisman and Dahl's sightings were a hoax. In their files, they noted that Dahl stated...
Of course they did.
Of course. They're in collusion with Space Force on this one. They noted that Dahl stated that if questioned by the authorities, he was going to say it was a hoax because he did not want any further trouble over the matter. The files also detail a few alternate stories communicated by Chrisman and Dahl to local newspapers and other media outlets. So they went to the media as well. Kind of doesn't help their story. And conclude that they had contacted a variety of publications in the hope of building their story through publicity to a point where they could make a profit from it. So...
The I haven't heard of UFOs being described as donut shaped before.
No.
That's a weird weird detail. It's almost like that's not what the story's about. It's about the cover up and the Men in Black. But the initial like inciting factor that there is these donut UFOs is kind of weird to me.
Yeah.
I take it they mean a ring donut, not just like, you know,
yeah.
a jam donut. It's like a boulder.
Like a co-op donut. I don't think the Americans have a bit, no,
yeah. Yeah, our American listeners are on style reference. Yeah, a co-op donut.
Yeah, you know the co-op.
The cooperative.
Yeah, that's now you've said the cooperative, that's really narrowed it.
They're really
it's
good.
Gonna make it. It's gonna make it really clear.
It's narrowed it right down.
A ring donut, so it has a hole in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Is that where they beam you, like the tractor beam comes through?
Presumably, that's where the metal comes out, the dog killing metal. Why? Yeah, metal coming from the sky. This... Seems like a malfunction to me.
Like, how many were there?
They were breaking down.
And they've discovered aluminium as well on their planet, presumably.
Molten aluminium.
Is aluminium man-made? Does it naturally occur? What is aluminium?
Oh, I'm terrible with metal. We talked about Hollow Earth, it was the first time I realised that any metal was...
I keep calling it aluminium because I've just got that in my head now.
See, when you say about donut-shaped flying saucers, I imagine the alien like sat in the middle of the donut driving it with a little joystick.
floating?
Yeah.
Aluminium is floating.
Natural. No, I don't know, just like
in a little glass bubble.
Yeah, that's it.
So they've got glass on their planet now as well, have they?
Yeah. Look at these advanced aliens with all their metal and glass.
I'm just very used to it.
Right, how much of that do I leave in the episode? Tis, give us another Men in Black story.
Okay. So we're going to move on to Dr. Herbert Hopkins.
Hopkins?
Dr. Herbie. Herbie Hoppers.
I'm wondering, I was trying to think, we've talked about Men in Black before, again, not just the Mothman episode, but the weird phone calls episode. We talked about the guy getting the weird phone calls coming off the aeroplane.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that was the other
one. Yeah, I remember now.
Well, this one's an interesting one, because we're going to hear for the first time from our guest, I'm trying to think of a word of someone who provides information. Guest informant. The guest informant of the show.
Okay.
For this one. He doesn't know that he's informing the show, but he is. We're going to hear from him in a sec. Or her. First of all, there's this article which explains it quite well. Dr. Herbert Hopkins was working as a consultant on the UFO case in Maine, and he's doing lots of UFO research as well. One evening he received a phone call from someone purporting to be an activist in the UFO community, asking if he could visit Hopkins and discuss the case and, you know, compare notes and whatever. And Hopkins agreed, and he said by the time he'd put the phone down, the guy was already walking up the drive to knock on the door. By the time he'd already sort of agreed and put the phone down, which is kind of creepy from the start.
Yeah.
It's a bit odd.
The man was wearing a black suit, black tie, as you do, and had a very unusual facial appearance with no hair or eyebrows. We've all been pranked like that. And an extremely pale figure. Hopkins' dog began barking erratically the minute the man entered the home.
Like alopecia or something, and now this guy's just this report is just slagging him off. It's like, I think you're fine. It's an illness.
And the dog's
this creepy, weird guy.
After the bizarre visitor was finished questioning him about the UFO case, the visit got even stranger. Here's how it went according to the website The Night Sky. The man in black informed Hopkins that there were two coins in Hopkins' pocket, which was correct, and asked him to remove one. Hopkins complied and held the coin, a shiny new penny, in his palm of his hand.
This is weird. This is like a traveling magician.
The man in black told Hopkins to watch the coin closely. After a few moments, the coin took on a silvery appearance and then appeared to be going out of focus. It then began to fade and eventually disappeared altogether. The MIB informed Hopkins that the coin would never be seen on this plane again. He then inquired as to whether Hopkins was familiar with the alleged UFO abductee Barney Hill. Hopkins replied that he had heard of Hill, but was under the impression that he had died in the not-too-distant past. The man in black informed Hopkins that that was correct. Barney didn't have a heart, said the man in black. Just like you no longer have a coin.
This is weird.
This is so weird. I don't
even know where to begin with this.
It should be noted that Barney Hill actually died of a cerebral hemorrhage. Caused by no heart. The man in black then gently suggested that Hopkins destroy any material he had related to the UFO case. Hopkins, extremely shaken by the encounter, followed the advice of the man and burnt all the files he had related to the case. While he had repeated phone troubles after the phone company said his line had been tampered with, maybe to tap it, he never saw the man again.
That is a very, very bizarre story.
There's so much that's weird with this. Was he just a magician? It sounds like a magician.
A threatening magician.
Yeah, like it's
magician.
A bit. He wants to make people think he's a man in black, but he's a strange, like David Blaine type wandering magician. Catching people unawares.
Walking up the drive thinking, I've got this great line about him having no heart. How can I illustrate this?
Yeah.
It's like, I know. It's got two coins. It is weird. There's just so much in that doesn't... I don't know where to start.
It's a cool, weird, sort of creepy story.
Yeah.
But that might have just been a weird bloke. I don't know if that's Men in Black, that one. I think it's someone maybe like using that idea as sort of like a cover.
Well, this was 1953.
So he just comes in and then this coin, right? I can't get over this coin. It doesn't just disappear. He said it like he held it and then it became like a silvery... presence or something.
Silvery colour and then started to blur out of vision.
And went blurry and then eventually disappeared.
Yeah.
So it disappears, but not before he does some kind of like weird magic thing with it.
Yeah.
And then says...
Your heart's like that.
Yeah, your heart's gone. Like, you've got no heart. Like, you've got no coin. I think I'd just call the police if I saw this lunatic. Sounds like a lunatic.
But what if he disappeared your phone? Or the 9 buttons off your phone? Oh, what would you dial?
It's the 1950s. I'm just going to go down to... Oh, hang on a minute. Is that why he took his coin as well, so that he couldn't go to the payphone? Didn't have enough money for the payphone.
I don't know about this one.
Yeah, this one feels a bit stinky.
I like the story, but I don't think it's Men in Black.
There's another angle to this. Explained all by our guest informant, Knight1747. I'm using a VPN when I'm going on this website because it says not secure. But if you want to visit it, I would suggest you do the same. It's realmib.tripod.com. We're going to be reading a lot from this website because he has a great... I don't know the gender, but a great point of view on a lot of these stories. So from their point of view, it's Men in Black encounters are generally said to begin in 1953. So that's counteracting the Dahl story. I guess they don't think the Dahl one's real.
Unless that's just an anomaly, generally thought to begin around this time. They're more prevalent from that date.
That's true. With the case of UFO investigator Albert K. Bender. Bender was the founder of the International Flying Saucer Bureau, IFSB. And the editor of a small publication called The Space Review. that was dedicated to news of flying saucers. Late in the summer of 1953, Bender made a series of discoveries which led him to believe that he had finally found the truth to the UFO cover-up. He had planned to reveal his findings in the October issue of Space Review, but before the issue was published, Bender was visited by three men dressed in black who had already read the unpublished report and confirmed his findings. The silencers, as he called them, scared Bender to the point where he did not publish the report, but left a warning. We advise those engaged in saucer work to please be very cautious. Bender then suspended publishing on the public on his publication and dissolved the IFSB.
Hmm. I was going to say, I'm wondering if... So all these people were saying, like, it's intimidation tactics. These creepy-looking, weird guys say intimidating, weird things to silence you. They refer to them as silencers just then. And I'm wondering if, as the sort of idea of the men in black got around, like you're going to be visited by them, they'll silence you, you want to be careful of these guys, if that wing of the government sort of leaned into that, they were like, okay, this works. People are scared of this idea of the men in black, so we should use that.
Yeah, maybe it's not a division, it's just every now and then it's like, right, this person, let's just put on the costume, let's go and fucking scare these people. Maybe it's just like an initiation tactic. It's like, you can join the FBI, but you got to go and shake this motherfucker down.
Yeah, if they were wearing novelty ties, I can't imagine that'd be too intimidating.
No.
Hey, no. Talking of men in black, this brings back a memory, right? You know, celebrities, they will do these sort of... They used to get away with it more, where they would like get offered loads of money to do an advert campaign in Japan, and they'd go and do it, and we would never see it in the West, so they'd just get away with it and get to pocket the money.
Like Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. When I was in Japan, there's coffee vending machines everywhere, and on all of them was Tommy Lee Jones in his Men in Black get-up, like taking a sip of the... Well, there was him and a Japanese guy both wearing Men in Black suits, just sort of like looking cool at the camera, and I loved it everywhere I went. Then one vending machine just had Tommy Lee Jones standing side on a beach with like the sun going down behind him, sipping an iced coffee out of a can with a tear running down his cheek.
Really?
I love the That's adverts. Amazing. There's actually adverts, like filmed adverts. And it's the premise is that Tommy Lee Jones is an alien sent from another planet to mix with the humans and understand their human qualities.
Is this a Japanese advert?
Yeah.
It's part of the same campaign. Oh my God.
A whole series of them, and it's fucking brilliant. It's so funny. It's so funny.
These posters were so good.
Because it's just Tommy Lee Jones looking very stoic in situations of intense comedy. And then the subtitles are just absolutely brilliant.
Because I think the guy in the posters with him is like a comedian in Japan.
Right.
So really?
So he's almost fulfilling the Will Smith role.
You're right, yeah.
They just couldn't afford both of them.
Yeah, I definitely need to send you guys over the videos. Rob's showed me a whole load of them, and they're just absolutely brilliant.
They were everywhere when I was there.
There's actually one of the adverts is where he just has a tear roll down his eye, and it's just...
Yeah, that's what the poster must have been from then that I saw when I was there.
Did you ever see one where he's just got this weird, like, very loud lipstick on as well?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
There's one where he's just got the lipstick on for whatever reason. It's so funny.
Anyway, that's a tangent.
Yeah. Shortly after he closed down the Space Review, this is Bender again, and the IFSB, he gave an interview to a local newspaper, which he said that he had been visited by three men wearing the dark suits and that they had ordered him to stop publishing the material about flying saucers. Bender said that he had been scared to death and that he couldn't eat or sleep for a couple of days. It's dangerous. In 1963, Bender elaborated further about his encounter in the book Flying Saucers and the Three Men in Black. So he deleted his publication, but then came back 10 years later with a book about the entire thing, not just the Flying Saucers, but also the Men in Black.
Maybe he was just like, by that time, you know, like, oh, fuck it. I didn't hear from him again.
Yeah. It says here, it was a strange and unreadable book that had revealed...
Sounds great. Is that the quote on the front cover?
Self-published.
Forward by Bill Oddie. that had revealed very little in the way of hard facts, but enhanced the reputation of the Men in Black as being extraterrestrial.
I bet the government were loving it. And I bet these like secret guys in the government were just like, oh God, this like the mystery of the Men in Black. It's so cool. Like, I reckon they really did ride off of it. Like, oh, next time I go and like silence someone, I'm wearing a black suit because I've got this like aura. Reputation now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense.
And it says, yeah, Men in Black disintegrates a coin in a witness's hand, tells him that his heart will do the same if he talks. So that's a consistency. Ah,
mm.
Oh, my foot's done that thing where it, fuck, you know what, it just splits it down the middle.
Pins and needles.
No, is it like cramp?
Oh, that's, yeah.
Rick, cramp just... and pins and needles are both terrible things that can happen to your feet. They're annoying, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. That's horrible. I haven't had that for years. Do you ever have that thing when you used to wake up really early in the morning as a kid and then you'd hit your neck and you'd have that, you could feel the blood gushing through your neck where you'd...
What?
Yeah.
No.
Never.
I fell on my head once as a kid when I fell out of bed.
It explains a lot.
It does. Explains too goddamn much. And yeah, if any of the listeners can attest to this, it feels like there's some vein that's just like whirring down your neck.
No.
Never.
This is insane. wait a minute, it sounds like you nearly die.
Oh wait, I think I've just read a completely different story. I was talking about Hopkins and that was Bender. Oh Jesus Christ, okay. God,
it's a write-off.
That was Albert K. Bender. That yeah. was that was not Hopkins. It wasn't the same as the coin guy. This was a separate issue. So the free Men in Black. Okay, so that's a different thing. Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, I did follow that being a different thing when you said the three Men in Black.
Cool.
Yeah, I didn't think it was the same thing at all.
I thought it was the same thing. I was being stupid. But now we're going to get the account of Herbert Hopkins from the opinion of Knight1747 at AOL.com.
Okay.
From the same website because, oh yeah, there's loads of information on this one. Was acting as a consultant on an alleged UFO teleportation case in Maine. One evening when his wife and children had gone out, leaving him alone, telephone rang, blah-de-blah-de-blah, got into the house. Let's see if we can find any more information on this one. His clothes were immaculate, suit unwrinkled, trousers sharply creased. When he took off his hat, he revealed himself as completely hairless, not only bald.
Oh, it's that bald thing again.
But without eyebrows and eyelashes, his skin was dead white, his lips were bright red.
That is so weird. That the hairless aspect is almost a bit too, like, it makes me believe less because it's a bit too wacky.
This is consistent across the board.
Yeah, I've heard it before.
The hairless with the red lips.
The description's too precise, though.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Who would remember all these details about someone? I wouldn't remember this much.
Mm. No.
Like, what colour tie was he wearing? I don't remember. I literally don't remember.
I wouldn't be able to remember how creased, like, that their suit looked absolutely perfect. Like,
Unless it was particularly... I don't know. It's not, if it was a weird memory.
Unless you're into ironing and you're like, that's a fucking...
I'd far more realise if a suit was not... If it was creased. Like, if it was like a scruffy suit.
I don't even notice if my own suit is creased. But I guess that's...
Yeah, but if something weird happened to you involving a person, I think you would retroactively remember the whole encounter more vividly. Mm. Including like, well, what did I think when I saw him? Oh, yeah, he was, like, pristine. Like, I think I would remember it retroactively.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because it would be such a weird encounter. You would be trying to, like, draw every bit of information about it in your head. Like, what was weird about it?
Yeah.
Well, like, I can't... When you say his hair was... Like, he was hairless, I've just got this image of Oddjob. I don't know why I'm thinking about James Bond so much tonight.
Oddjob? Did he have... He had hair, didn't he?
I don't know.
He had eyebrows for show and a mustache.
That's true, but he did kill people with his shoe.
which is nothing to do with what you've just said. I just can't. I don't know why.
You're thinking of the suit, aren't you? The black suit. Yeah, Oddjob had a black suit. Oddjob was the player to play as on GoldenEye, by the way.
No, Oddjob's not allowed.
He's not allowed, but he was the player to play if people didn't know the rule. Jaws versus Oddjob. Almost impossible.
Was that beef?
He wasn't allowed. What do you mean he wasn't allowed?
Because he's shorter than all the other players. So if you come against him in a corridor and you shoot straight ahead, it'll go over his head, but he can still shoot you.
Yeah. And if you're Jaws, it would take you even longer to aim down. So you'd just be fucking... Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that tangent.
Jaws v Oddjob.
Yeah, I'm not really sure about this hairless dude thing. This description.
It's definitely weird. It's definitely weird, but it's almost a bit too bonkers for me. Like, if it's just guys showing up in black suits using intimidation tactics to hush you, I'm like, oh, that's creepy. When you start saying, like, oh, they're all, none of them have got any hair, none of them have got any eyebrows and stuff, like, it makes them sound like aliens themselves. Unless...
The men in black are listening to this and they're just like, yes, let's play that angle because no one's going to believe them anymore.
Yeah, that's a part of it. It's like, do they try and go weirder so that people don't believe the kooky stories?
Imagine if you just dressed absolutely ridiculously and then went and assaulted someone and they're like, it was, you know, they give the description, the police are like, yeah. You get away with it. I'm not going to try that. No one should try that.
Well, I hope not.
But if someone does try that, I hope that someone brings it to our attention so we can, you know, write it off.
Unless Men in Black are aliens trying to cover their own tracks.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe they're not a government organization at all.
Yeah.
Maybe they're the aliens.
I've blown the lid off this, guys.
Maybe they are trying to look like the classic FBI.
It sounds like to me that it's almost like there's two aliens in a spaceship and they're like, oh, we've been rumbled. Okay, we need to go and sort this out. And then they just dress up as what they think a human looks like.
Yeah, oh, they all wear suits all the time.
And we're just seeing them all wearing suits and some of them don't have any hair. Or like they don't have the ability to generate hair. As in, like the aliens don't have the ability. Oh, don't worry about the facial hair.
But they found a tailor.
Just slap a suit on. Sorry, just trying to get rid of my rabbit. Not like killer, just sorry.
I feel like that's why I had to use my Asper pump. It's because I can feel the allergies coming through the
mate,
spring.
Mate, I was just saying I can, the pollen must be attacking you today. I can hear it in your chest.
Yeah. This is the first day I've used an inhaler in a very long time, so.
That'll be the pollen.
It's usually the rapeseed. I think I've narrowed it down to rapeseed. Rapeseed harvest time is the worst. Anyway. So, it was only afterwards, however, Dr. Hopkins reflected further on the strangeness of this visitor's appearance and behaviour. Particularly odd was the fact that the visitor stated that his host had two coins in his pocket. It was indeed the case. He then asked the doctor to put one of the coins in his hand, and we know what happened next. Neither you nor anyone else on this planet will ever see that coin again, he said. After talking a little while longer on general UFO topics, Dr. Hopkins suddenly noticed that the visitor's speech was slowing down.
Sorry, if it is a magician playing a weird character, it's pretty like evocative. It's a pretty cool... Like, his wording is very evocative, like, neither you nor anyone else on this world, on this planet will ever see this coin again. It's very like, I'm the alien magician. Like, Siler goes for that sometimes, doesn't he? He says, like, he's an alien.
Yeah.
And that is, like, the same idea, like...
Yeah.
It's powerful.
The alien magician.
When a coin goes missing, you're just like, oh, it disappeared. But then when they say it will never be seen on this planet again, you're like, fuck,
yeah, it adds
shit.
That layer, like,
that's
whoa.
Like... That's like exclusivity.
The persona is a bit like, in my head, I'm imagining these guys acting a bit like, is it Sugar, the villain from No Country for Old Men?
Yeah.
Javier Bardem's character, like when he's in that gas station and he does that weird thing with the coin, with the guy who owns the gas station, he's like, heads or tails, and he gets him to like call the... It's that kind of level of creepy where you're like, it's creepy enough.
I'm using this prop to draw your absolute attention.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Like Harvey Dent.
Anyone else? Any fictional characters that play with coins? Roland of Gilead. It's a Stephen King reference for you there. Right.
The visitor told him, after taking a little while longer, yep. That's it. The speech was slowing down. The man then rose unsteadily to his feet and said slowly, "My energy is running low. Must go now. Goodbye." He walked falteringly
to the door.
This is new information. He walked falteringly to the door and descended the outside steps uncertainly. One at a time, Dr. Hopkins saw a bright light shining in the driveway, blush white and distinctly brighter than a normal car lamp. At the time, however, he assumed it must be the stranger's car, although he neither saw nor heard it.
I want to be this character for a day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just like put on a suit and just say weird things and do weird things for a day. Just have absolute freedom of like, I'm someone else today. And just like, just say weird things like I'm running out of energy and like weirdly walk down the stairs. Because imagine all the stories that people would have of their encounters with you throughout that day.
Totally.
You'd just be an agent of chaos for a day in the city. It'd be so fun.
Yeah. I wonder if people agent just have chaos. That where they just do that all the time.
Yeah, I wonder. I think about like weird interactions I've had with people and I'm just like, I wonder if they were like just giving me a bit of fun for my day.
Like the man from Mobutu.
You do like, and actually when things like that happen, you do remember strange little intricate details. You do remember the small...
Well, that man from Mobutu, your one, that's a strange tale.
Yeah, exactly.
That
and
dude.
I can remember exactly what he wore, which is weird.
Hmm, exactly. There you go then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that's the same kind of thing. I shouldn't be poo-pooing this so quickly.
If listeners want to hear about the man from Maputo, it's on episode 1.
Jeez.
And also, me and Rick talk about it on one of the revisited episodes, the Patreon only. The,
oh, really?
The Bandcamp only. Yeah, we did an episode on the man from Tourette.
Oh, I see.
In more depth, and we talked about it. Your story again on there. That's on there.
All right.
That's bobshoy.bandcamp.com. We got a few donations this week, by the way.
Sweet. That's great.
Someone gave us quid last night.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
People are so generous, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's
we got
lovely.
Another today.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah.
I haven't donated any money today, so...
No.
Better than me. He's back.
I'm back.
Tis, I was just saying someone donated quid last night.
No fucking way.
Yeah, to Weird Tales.
Oh my God.
I'm just like, I'm on my second run through of all this whole series and I've had so many hours of entertainment.
I can't imagine listening to all our stuff twice.
No. The thing is, I have listened to a series of podcasts twice though. So there is out there. I can imagine people doing it because I've done it.
I've started doing that sort of thing more often, like not with podcasts, but with music.
Listening to the same album twice.
No, well, what happened was
steady on Tis.
What happened was there was this jungle label that was selling their whole discography, like 190 tracks for like 30 quid, and I was like, fuck yeah, I'll buy that. And I listened to them and was like, these are fucking awesome, these are so good. So I then went and donated another 40 quid because I was like,
oh yeah,
you know,
I donate often to podcasts because I know, because I listen to so much while I'm at work. I listen to like 6 hours at least of podcasts every single day.
Yeah.
And
wow.
And it gets me through the day. And I know how good it feels when we get, I'm like, oh, thanks.
Yeah.
And I give money to like Patreons of people who do podcasts and stuff like that just because.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like if everyone does that, it makes the world a better place. If you give to the creators.
Definitely, then, yeah. I would do that if I listened to more podcasts. I don't work on building sites that allow radios or headphones anymore, which sucks.
Yeah, I'm just allowed to wear headphones, so it's just like I spend all day.
I used to be headphones. That. Oh, I wish I was like that now. Damn it.
Anyway, Men in Black. God, there's so many tangents. I'm going to try and keep them all.
Good luck.
So the end of Dr. Hopkins' story is Dr. Hopkins was very much shaken by the visit, particularly when he reflected on the extraordinary character of the stranger's conduct. Not surprisingly, He was so scared that he willingly complied with his visitor's instruction, which was to erase the tapes of the hypnotic sessions he was conducting with regard to his current case, and to have nothing further to do with the investigations. As for the New Jersey UFO Research Organization, no such institution exists. That's, I guess, the institution that the guy claimed he was from.
Yeah, yeah.
Identifying himself as the vice president of such a thing.
I think this is just a weird guy doing a weird bit.
So it goes on to say that this is probably the most detailed there is of a Men in Black visit out of the whole thing. So that's interesting. But
it's really cool.
I've got a lot of juicy snippets that still come. So it's not over yet, people.
No, it's not over yet. But for now, let's give him an ad break.
Let's give him
the ad break in there.
So here is a story of Peter Hroschwitz. I think I've pronounced that right. This is another tale from the real MIB site, .tripod.com, realmib.tripod.com.
This episode is sponsored by realmib.tripod.com.
But I will caveat with it's not secure. I don't know what that means. What does it mean when a website isn't secure? Does it mean that it just isn't?
It can mean a number of things.
Yeah. So. I use a VPN just in case. Just in case. Yeah. The MIB are using this website as a proxy to spy on us.
Oh, they're actually spreading the stories themselves to further the like mystery of the MIB.
Yeah.
They're running this website.
Yeah, we've caught you out, Knight 1747.
We've caught you out, Men in Black _421.
There's going to be a knock on our doors in a minute.
Bring it.
Knock it on the hotel door, yeah.
If they can find Tiss, I'll be amazed.
Yeah, if they know exactly what room number I am in.
Lids will just ring you in like, really weird man just turned up at our flat.
Wouldn't it be creepy if I turned to my side and there was one of them just standing on my balcony?
Oh my God. Oh my God. I keep remembering I've got so much more content for this episode. It's brilliant.
We really need to get cracking then.
Come on, let's do it. Let's do it.
We've been going for like an hour.
So Peter Hroschwitz is a professor of humanities and folklore at Juilliard School in New York, who also teaches at the C.J. Jung Foundation for Analytical Psychology. One day in 1980, he found himself in a library on a campus of the University of Pennsylvania, browsing through a book on UFOs. The book had been recommended to him by a colleague who erroneously assumed that Hroschwitz, as a folklorist, would be interested in it. At some point, Hroschwitz became aware of a wrinkled black pant leg and a scuffed black shoe out of the corner of his eye. He looked up to find a man well over 6 feet tall and weighing no more than 140 pounds standing before him. 140 pounds is super thin for a 6 foot guy. The figure was dressed in a black suit which looked as though it had been slept in for 3 days, specifically.
So this is very different. The other guy was pristine. This guy is looking scruffy.
This guy's been sleeping in the library waiting for this moment. The man's shirt was bright white, nearly matching his deathly pallor. Completely uninvited, the man flopped down in a chair next to Hroschwitz and asked what he was doing. Hroschwitz replied that he was looking a book about UFOs, obviously. The man asked if Hroschwitz had ever seen a UFO, to which the professor replied in the negative. The man then asked Hroschwitz if he believed that UFOs were real. Hroschwitz responded that he really didn't have an opinion one way or the other, and that after studying the book in front of him, he realized that he didn't have much of an interest in the subject.
The end.
The man suddenly screamed, "Flying saucers are the most important fact of the century, and you are not interested." The man then suddenly rose as awkwardly as he had sat down and appeared to regain his composure. He put his hand on Roshwich's shoulder and said quietly, "Go well on your purpose." And with that, he took his leave. This is a very different story. Within 10 seconds of the strange man's departure, Hroschwitz was engulfed by fear. He believed that he had had a genuinely paranormal experience and the idea terrified him. He took a walk around the library in an attempt to collect his thoughts. Strangely, he could not find another living soul in the building. He returned to where he had been sitting, absolutely befuddled. An hour or so later, he got up to walk the library again. This time, everything seemed back to normal. It was not until later that Roschwitz heard of the Men in Black. He has since become one of the leading authorities on the subject.
This guy just seems like a kook.
That sounds like a crazy story.
Yeah. I don't think that's Men in Black. I think that's just a kook. He just came across a UFO nut.
Yeah. But now he's a leading authority on the Men in Black, apparently. Let's have a little
search. Don't know how you become a leading authority on the Men in Black.
It's quite easy because there's no one else.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. You could just self-proclaim Mr. Knight. Expert.
I'm sure I'm a leading authority on something. I'd love to know what it is.
Yeah. It's weird to think like you could be the best in the world at something you just have no idea because you've not tried it yet.
Or just like something I do every day and don't even realise that everyone else is shit at it and I just do it easily. Like, yeah, I am the best in the world at making a cuppa. And I just don't know because I'm used to making a cup of tea, you know?
Yeah.
Hmm.
The weird thing for me in that story is he says, what do you think about UFOs? Do you believe in them? And he goes, not really either there, here or there. And the guy like carries on pressing him. He gets a bit creepy still. Don't know.
I think he just sounds like a fucking UFO nut to me who came across someone else with a UFO book and was like, what do you think about him? I'm just checking out this book at the moment, just reading, not sure. What are you talking about? And then just to me, that just sounds like a UFO nut.
Yeah.
I mean, the black suit thing and...
Yeah, but it wasn't pristine like the others. No, it's just a dirty black suit. It's not that weird to see a guy in a black suit.
No, he's just a UFO nerd.
He's just a kook.
Yeah. See, he should have ironed his suit.
So this one, we've got an actual picture of a man in black.
Okay. Black and white. Here we go.
Real photograph. So, UFO researcher Jack Robinson and his wife Mary began to experience extremely strange events as they pursued more aliens and UFO-related research. They would come home to find their house rummaged and looked through, and their UFO files disturbed. Mary also began to notice a strange man in a black suit and hat staring up at their apartment from the doorway. From the doorway? I guess the doorway across from their house. Doesn't explain that. Mary mentioned this activity to a friend who drove over and saw what she was talking about for himself. Ah, okay, the friend was a guy, right. The friend, Tim Green Beckley, snapped a photo of the man, which is believed to be one of the most ironclad pieces of proof of the Men in Black.
Ooh, there we go. Juicy.
Here we go.
Now we're cooking.
It's just going to be a picture of a man in a black suit.
Tommy Lee Jones, isn't it?
Can we see this?
Ooh, he does look a bit shady.
So this is the whole black and white image.
Can so it's a black and white picture of a street. Some cars parked along it, and inside one of the doorways is a man in a black suit.
There's a zoomed in version just up here. There you go.
It just looks like Winston Churchill.
He has got like a top hat on.
Looks a bit like the Fat Controller from Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah, it's a Topham hat.
Fat Controller, come on.
But he has... When you look at his eyes, it looks like he's wearing... Like he's got like... Big eyes.
No eyebrows.
Or he's wearing like sunglasses, like really weird alien sunglasses.
Well, they wear sunglasses, don't they, to protect them from that thing that makes you lose your memory.
The neuralizer.
Of course.
Neuralizer.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I think of that.
That's just a guy in a black suit standing in a doorway.
Yeah.
That, I mean, if you want to get involved in the Men in Black and say that's a man in black, it is a man in black, yeah, but is it a man in black?
So this Professor Roschwitz story is again on...
I think the hat makes them less sinister.
Depends on the hat, doesn't it?
Gives them a bit of fashion. If it's a trilby...
Baseball cap. Do-rag.
The press of Roshwitz rag. This one.
I love the idea of a man in black pulling up with dreadlocks and a do-rag.
Oh my god.
Other than that, he's just like a man in black. He's in a pristine black suit. But...
dreadlocks down to his arse.
Like, could you explain this man for me? Well, he was wearing this black suit. Yeah. And it was really sharp, like really sharply dressed, black tie. Yeah, okay, what else? He's wearing a do-rag. hang on a minute, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So, mate, the Roshwitz one comes up again on this website as well, where it claims he was reading a UFO book in the library. Strange pale white man wearing all black sat down next to him, talking to professor, who wasn't super interested, and the man became very agitated. He eventually left, so the other stuff's not in this.
Mm.
He did not reveal this story until many years later, and he finally gave a lecture on the subject. He remains convinced it was a man in black official who confronted him in the library. To this
just because he's convinced. He gave a lecture to say there was a man in a black suit in a library once.
But I don't get it. Enough. Like, the men in black are here to suppress information, and that's like... it's like they're fucking bored. It's like, right, we need to find some fuckers to shake down.
It's like he got drunk.
Yeah.
He's like all disheveled, like he hasn't had a proper night's sleep for 3 days.
Maybe it's like he got kicked out.
He got fired.
And he's like, what do you think about UFOs? And he just wants someone to be like, yeah, I love them. And exactly. Then like shake him down. But this guy was just like, nah, they're lame. They're not lame. It's my entire job.
And then... go well on your purpose.
Yeah, go well on your purpose.
Go well on your purpose. That's another one of those evocative phrases that we talked about earlier. That's a bit odd.
So there's a famous person who we all know his name from an adaption by a band of his name that might give it away. Who do you think I'm talking about? This guy saw a real Men in Black who really shut down his TV show about aliens.
Tom DeLonge.
No. Dan Aykroyd.
Ah, oh, okay.
Really?
Dan Aykroyd says he met a real man in black, and I've got a video.
He's a real alien dude, isn't he, Dan Aykroyd?
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. Dan Aykroyd did a TV show about aliens?
He, it got cancelled.
Or he could have done, but he got shut down because of the men in black.
Got shut down. He was supposed to have Stephen Greer on the show and someone else. I remember Stephen Greer because of our UFO... episode, and that was before this is way before Stephen Greer's recent documentaries. But yeah, so there's a video here with Dan Aykroyd explaining his experience with the real Men in Black.
Ooh.
Well, what happened? Well, we sold the show to Sci-Fi Channel, and it was called Out There, and I basically interviewed all of the people that I admired in various fields of study, like Colin Andrews from the Crop Circle movement, Linda Moulton Howe, the expert on cattle mutilations, John Mack. And let me just put a pin in things right there, because John Mack has taken the study of abductions, UFOs, right out through the other side, and he's going, yes, we know they're here, we know they're coming, we know people have been taken, we know there's experimentation going on, we know people have been told about agendas. What we now have to do is use that as a key and as a motivation to socially transform this planet to a more peaceful, more loving, more tolerant state. So his movement, the movement for social change, has just accepts as a fact abductions, UFOs, interplanetary intervention, and what he's doing is taking it out through the positive side of it and saying, now we must use it to socially transform. And I think his message is great. But I talked to him. I talked to the Allagash guys who were taken in the canoe on that trip in Pennsylvania. The last show we did, I had both Bassett, who has the UFO time clock, and then Greer. Both Bassett and Greer were there. They were my two guests for the day. Well, the show was canceled that afternoon. And I was outside... before I knew it was canceled, in between the interviews. And I was outside, and Britney Spears called me because she wanted me to appear on Saturday Night Live with her. And so I was outside having a cigarette, the phone rang. Oh, Britney, how you doing? Oh, sure, of course I will. I turned away like this. I turned back, and there was a black Ford across the road, a black Ford sedan. And I was trying to look at the plate, and the plate seemed kind of like fuzzy. And I was, you know, definitely a police car. And two guys were there, and a big, big, tall guy got out of the back seat. And he stood in the street on 42nd Street, it was. We were at 42nd Street and 8th Avenue. And he looked right at me. And literally, I mean, I was on the phone. Hey, oh, sure, of course I'd love for the show. Saw the Ford, went back like this, turned back like a half second later, and it was gone. And that car did not go past me. It did not make a U-turn, because I would have seen 42nd Street. I would have seen that thing take a U-turn and go away. That car vanished. That car was a cloaked vehicle of some type. And whether this was like a warning to me, because the guy cut out of the back seat, gave me a real dirty look. That car vanished. I know what I saw. And, you know, it was just this fast. It was, oh, hi, Brittany, sure. Oh, of course, I'd love to. Guy gives me a dirty look. Oh, well, sure. Car gone. That's what happened. And then 2 hours later, we were told we were not to continue taping, and the show was canceled, and none of them would air. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Was that an MIB experience? You know, black helicopters, you know, military abductions that happen. Sometimes people are taken, and they talk about then being visited by, you know, military personnel and debriefed about their abduction. Was it a technology associated with some of these beings that are visiting that wanted to warn me off, or that wanted to give me verification that I was on the right track? I don't know. But I do know I did turn back a second later, and I, you know, it takes so long for an automobile accelerating from 0 to 40 miles an hour to reach the corner of 8th Avenue and 42nd Street going past me, and then pulling a U-turn and going out towards Times Square, I would have seen that car. And I looked around. I mean, I was looking for that then. It was gone. So, I don't know. The tapes exist. I have them. We're going to try to repackage them. We might put them out on DVD.
I have a question.
Crazy.
I have a question. Was his show cancelled because it was shit?
No, it was on Sci-Fi Channel. They'll put anything out.
Yeah. Dude, have you seen the stuff that's on Sci-Fi Channel?
So he was going to have, he'd say he was going to have Stephen Greer on his show.
Yeah. Right?
And then he was outside on the phone to Britney Spears, who was also going to come on his show.
No, he was on the phone to Britney Spears because she was calling to see if he was going to be on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay, she wasn't talking right. about her UFO experiences.
I was like, yeah, hang on a minute. That was that threw me. Okay,
no,
cool,
so
fine.
They filmed the whole series of his show out there, and they were just filming the last episode, which was supposed to have Stephen Greer, like, big guest for the last episode. And before they could even film it, they were said, not going to continue, and
down.
Then the show never aired.
That is a bit odd.
That is really odd.
Hmm. The Black Ford as well, that's strange.
And you that show would have been popular on Sci-Fi, I think.
Yeah.
With Dan Aykroyd, yeah, definitely.
I would be interested in that. He's such a weird guy.
Especially if he'd interview called it Alien weird Busters. People.
Dan Aykroyd, as a weird guy, interviewing loads of other weird guys about weird alien stuff, I think would have been very popular on Sci-Fi.
Definitely. It would have been the only popular show on Sci-Fi. In amongst Sharknado 6 and Derek Acora's favourite hits or something like that. That's really odd.
It is an odd one.
Yeah.
I've got another video here of actual MIB caught on tape.
Is this the CCTV footage thing?
It is.
I've seen this.
You've seen this? Have you seen this, Beef?
No, maybe. I don't know. I've not seen it yet.
I remember a long time ago when I was thinking of putting together an MIB episode, I did a cursory search. This is like over a year ago, and I came across this footage then.
Yeah, so this was the story. I don't have in front of me, but I remember it loosely. They were looking for someone who was staying at the hotel, a UFOlogist, of course. And the clerks were the ones who ID'd the guys as being red lips, pale, absolutely identical, both entirely hairless, the same height, black suits, and were asking for a certain person, asking where they could find them. Yeah.
Lizards.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen this, yeah. There's no audio, is there?
No, it's literally this
So I guess we'll try and do a bit of a commentary on what we're seeing.
Those are the guys.
So it's a CCTV footage of an... Is it a hotel, did you say?
Hotel, yeah.
From the inside of a hotel, looking towards the entrance, and these two men in black walking through the entrance. Where are they now?
So let's just reverse the tape. Here we go.
Okay, here they are. They're walking through the front doors now. Yeah, two identical looking dudes.
They look pretty similar.
Yeah. Same build, long black coats, little black sort of bowler hats or trilby hats, hard to make out.
Oh, freaky as fuck.
That is weird. If I was sitting there and those two dudes walked in, I would be like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
It's the craze.
And the Ronnie and the other one.
Ronnie and Reggie.
Ron and Reg, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it gives me the chills watching that video, you know.
Yeah, I'll put that video on the Facebook page or whatever as well for other people to see.
It's a bit strange.
It is strange. There's some stuff I want to read from this website because there's some cool little tabs to open up. And then I'll finish off on another story of a real man in black. This is a confirmed man in black of sorts. You can give
They've
your opinion.
They've all been real though, right?
They're all confirmed.
They're all confirmed and real. This one's just a little bit more confirmed and real than the others.
Okay.
So here's a tab saying MIB countermeasures, and it's saying after reading various reports of people who have had encounters with men in black after UFO-related sightings or happenings, it has brought to my attention that common, average people without any previous military tactical or planning training are defenseless to the tactics that have been reported to frighten and intimidate these people, to be silent or to change their minds about reporting or turning over any information or evidence to UFO investigators. It looks like he's collated a lot of their tactics. Men in black, you can spot the big black car. They announce that they are from such and such and flash an ID at you quickly and put it away. That's like one of their tactics, apparently. Mm-hmm. State you wish to verify their credentials. Tell them... Oh, wait. Is this how to... Is how to counteract? Right. Okay, this is how to counter the MIB. We don't need to know this. I mean, just fucking whatever. Do shit.
You know why they flash their ID really quick and put it away?
Because
they're not from an actual organization. They're just flashing up their library card quickly.
Right.
Hoping that you'll go along with it.
Exactly.
It's just the dick pic.
MIB facts. This was a good one, I think. This is a good one. This is unsubstantiated, but I like it. It's good fun. It gives a little bit of mystery to the story. MIB phenomena is interesting on several levels. So many, in fact, that it's difficult to know where to begin. For instance, on the surface, it would appear that the Men in Black are one of those very few legends that can be traced to its ultimate source, i.e. Bender. Albert Bender. However, a brief perusal of human history suggests that this might not necessarily be the case. A tradition of men in black type entities that is mysterious, dark-clothed individuals with sinister intentions can be followed back to ancient times and across virtually all cultures. At least as far back as biblical times, Beef, there has been a tradition in the Middle East of men attired in black robes and turbans attempting to lure victims out into the desert for unspecified sinister purposes. Is that... Can you substantiate any of this?
I have no idea.
No.
That's not what you're in your dissertation on.
Biblical times. Biblical times would be covered in the Bible, though, right? It would mention about it.
They talk about the Bible in the Bible, yeah.
They talk about the time in which it's being written
in the Bible.
In the Bible.
I always imagine that the Pharisees would be like men in black. They would be like the biblical men in black.
Is the Bible the only book of that time?
No.
That we know of? Oh, okay. So there are other biblical books.
Are there any other bangers?
That aren't Bibles.
Any other classics?
Yeah. Herod's fucking
Herod's
picks
hits.
Herod's hits.
Herod had that really pointy hat, didn't he? I remember having a book where his head looked like a bit of a penis with a spike on it.
What are you talking about?
Where did you see that?
I had a
photograph of him knocking around somewhere.
I had a picture book of the Bible back in the day, and it was like Herod was. Did he take kids off?
Hat.
Herod killed loads of kids, didn't he? Trying to find Jesus with his pointy fucking head.
I really want a retelling of the Bible by Tish, just from memory.
Just from memory. Yeah, that would be
Herod,
the best.
He was the one with like the dunce cap, wasn't he, or something like that.
Oh God!
I remember the picture so vividly. I need to find the book, but I will never find it because
I would love you to find this book.
Yeah, it was great. There was loads of wicked pictures in there of the pointy Herod.
Loads of wicked pictures. That sounds wicked, yeah.
Oh man,
I used to read books with the pictures. Hey, that's how I did it.
God, I haven't heard like wicked used as like an adjective like that for so long. Especially with what he used it to describe.
Herod had all those wicked hats.
Mad wicked point
on man.
It.
Crying.
Wow.
Right, so sinister purposes. Likewise, in Central and Southern Europe, during the Middle Ages, there existed a genuine fear among the inhabitants that of those regions of black-clad beings who wandered the countryside performing indiscriminate acts of vampirism on humans and livestock. This is just anyone who dresses in black who has sinister intentions.
Vampirism? Well, now we're getting onto vampires and stuff.
Yeah, that's why I love this website. That's why I really love this website.
This is getting silly now. Now you're talking about vampires, this is getting silly.
Yeah, you just went and turned that corner now where I can't believe it.
Fairy lore allows for otherwise human-looking fairies who dress in black and delight in causing mischief. In the human
so
world.
Weird.
The fact that the men in black are often, in fact, nearly always described as having Asian features. I don't think that's the case. Is interesting in light surface of the... What? In light of the fact... I skipped a bit. In light of the fact that there is a long-standing myth in China, Tibet, and India that a superior race of humans live beneath the surface of the earth who occasionally send agents dressed in black to the surface to surveil or manipulate human affairs.
Oh, it's getting like spiritual now.
Yeah.
It's like
Hollow Earth. It's Hollow Earth. It's just touching on everything. Native Americans...
touching cloth.
Touching cloth. Native Americans feared the black man who supposedly lurked in the forest with malicious intent. There are even what could be considered Men in Black type undertones in Nathaniel Hawthorne's 1835 short story, Young Goodman Brown. Not read that. Mm. And it just goes on to say about how Men in Black Men in Black usually travel in packs of three, although doubles and singles are not uncommon. That statement in itself doesn't make any sense. They usually in packs of three, although double and single are not uncommon. If they're not uncommon, then how can they usually travel in packs of three?
They usually travel in packs.
Packs.
They're like hunters.
There's a pack
of
MIBs coming around the corner, guys.
they tend to drive large black American cars, such as Lincolns, Cadillacs, sedans. Which are usually at least 20 or 30 years old, yet in mint condition. Often these cars display strange, unidentifiable insignias, an unusual glow as if from a vapor lamp or instrument panel or some type of console, as often reported as illuminating the interior of the vehicle. License plate numbers are usually either obscured or missing altogether. That's in line with Dan and Anne Aykroyd.
Yeah, Aykroyd said that, didn't he?
But in numerous instances, plate numbers have been recorded and checked out only to show that they had never been issued. It's illegal.
Hmm.
hallmarks of the classic MIB visitation are incompetence and bizarre behavior on the part of the men in black. Seemingly mystified by human ways, they are extremely poor taskmasters in the area of imitation. For instance, they often express amazement at the most mundane objects such as bowls of Jell-O or ballpoint pens, and have been known to ask inappropriate or downright rude questions.
This sounds like they're positing them as being aliens, like we said earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they're not humans.
Yeah. Roughly 40 cases in all have been documented. Encounters that have been slightly credible or are rarer still. So that was... So 40 is just the documented number, and then the actual credible ones is even less than that number.
Wow.
So it's not a very common occurrence. I don't think Tom DeLonge has been visited.
But common enough that they know they operate in packs of three.
And they're confused and amazed by Jell-O.
That Jell-O. How many examples of an MIB agent coming across some jelly has there ever been? So they can put that as like a list on the bullet points. Yeah, confused by jelly.
Yeah, Jell-O or ballpoint pens. Yeah, I don't know, man. I loved that. I loved listening to all of that.
Mm.
But the Jell-O thing is weird.
It's all over the place. I know what you were saying about how, like, it's reignited your sense of fun with conspiracies, because these sort of stories are the sort of stories we were telling on, like, the really early days of Weird Tales.
Yeah.
Just, like, these sort of, like, weird conspiracy rumours that float around the internet.
Yeah.
It's very like numbers stations-y, like the myths behind numbers stations and what they could be and stuff like that.
It isn't being manipulated to hate on anyone.
No.
That's the carrot for me. Conspiracies often tend to come from discriminatory backgrounds where they kind of get made up.
These are just fun stories.
They're just fun, yeah.
I get the same joy out of these as I get from when we read like ghost stories out and stuff. This is just like fun, weird stories. That's why I started the show.
I'm not sure how ready I am to believe the account of someone who eats jelly as a snack.
No.
Like, just an adult.
I can't remember
there.
The last time I ate jelly.
No. Probably when I was a child.
So we've got one last story.
Okay.
It's not of a man in black. It's kind of a man in black. Depending on how you... It's not in keeping with these ones. It's a real story. It's a real man. He does exist. Richard Doty.
Right.
I don't know if you've heard of this guy. When Edward Snowden did a document leak, there was a PowerPoint, Art of Deception, Training the New Generation of Online Covert Operations.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of documents that got released. And one of them was picked up by a documentary called Mirage Men, which unearths compelling evidence that UFO folklore was actually fabricated by the US government. Rather than covering up the existence of aliens, could it be the real conspiracy has been persuading us to believe in them? One such operative who has been infiltrating UFO circles, Richard Doty. Richard Doty is a government official, a government spy, I guess, who infiltrated UFO circles and conspiracy circles and fed them false information, to give them more credibility. He'd go to them and say that he was from the government and he really knows about UFOs, and if you cooperate with us, then I'm going to tell you about more stuff, and I can give you this and I can give you that. Yeah, and it's just a really, really crazy idea. How do you think about that? I don't know if it falls under Men in Black. It's kind of, he's a real man in black because he kind of... It could be one of two things. It could be that they're disseminating false information throughout the circles to try to... Like what I think with the internet, where the internet had loads of cool information and then they just put loads of shit on it so we can't tell what's shit from Shinola.
Yeah, muddies the water.
Yeah.
Mm.
So in a sense, that's a more believable Men in Black thing rather than outwardly coming out and saying, you're right, don't talk about this because people will.
Mm.
It's like, okay, how can we shut this guy up or how can we discredit him? Let's feed him false information and then
right.
we can discredit him later by, you know, the information that we give him.
More believable,
mm.
but not as yeah. fun.
Not as fun. No.
Yeah. And we don't go for facts on this pod. We're only going for the fun.
We're only going for the fun. I still need to watch The Mirage Men. I think I need to watch that. I won't touch too much on Doty because it was just an idea to put out mm. there where it's different ideas of them and Men in Black. We've had the normal Men in Black. We've had the one who was a bit disheveled in the library. And now we've got Doty, another type of Man in Black who existed but isn't quite yeah. as fun. Isn't quite as mysterious.
Give the listeners something to chew on.
But actually, if you look at his face, it gives me the chills. Let's have a look at his face.
Huh. What's wrong with him?
The red eyes. Looks like he's been scratching them for fucking 10 years. Oh, look at that. Mr. Doty.
Look at that.
For listeners, this was just zooming in on this guy's face continuously during that last half a minute.
Whilst looking at the picture of another human being. Oh, look at that.
Look at that. It's not just a guy's face, though. His eyes are so... it's all red.
He might just have, like, an issue.
Well, no, I don't want to be harsh about
it's
that.
Hot.
But he looks...
Yeah.
Like,
pink
you know,
eye.
If he come up to you and was like, it just looks a very slimy person, very government slimy.
He needs to be more like Herod. At least he had wicked hats.
Yeah, Herod had a hell of a beard as well from the pictures.
From the pictures.
From the depiction of the time.
Yeah, I don't
did
know.
Herod, what did he do? What was his legacy, Herod?
What was his legacy?
He killed loads of kids, right?
King Herod was this, like, nasty, horrifically tyrannical, bully, maniac king. Yeah.
Yeah. The spiky hat, sort of, like...
He ordered for the killing of every boy under the age of 2, I think, for 2. So that he could... Because he, like, heard about Jesus... And try to trick the 3 wise men. They're like, we've come to worship this king. And he's like, hang on a minute. I'm the king. What are they talking about? And he goes, oh, let me know when you find him so I can come and worship him. In his head, he's thinking, I'm going to kill him. So, yeah, he's a maniac. Ordered, and, babies were killed. It did happen.
But he didn't but get that, Jesus.
No, by that time, Mary and Joseph had naffed off out of there. They were gone.
And he did wear a silly hat.
He did wear a silly hat and he did have a long beard, yeah.
The spiky hat gave him away in his intentions, in my opinion.
The spiky dunce cone hat.
I
yeah.
think that hat had a resurgence in, was it Germany?
We're still talking about this hat.
I don't know what hat you're talking about, so I can't tell you.
I need to get a picture of Herod's hat.
Do you
I'm
mean a crown?
Herod's hat. No. Not the crown. I don't know what the crown looked like. That wasn't in the book.
Right, I've Googled King Herod.
I question the validity
images.
Of anything which wasn't in said book.
Right, so this Herod's... is the first picture that comes up.
No, that's not his pointy hat. Pointy spike
Ooh, this
hat.
Is another one. Look at that, that's horrible.
Oi, I found it. Oh, wait, no, that's a German one. That is the German one. Okay, it looks like this. Looks like that.
Oh, right. Oh.
Like, in the book, it depicted the warrior, the army of having that, with Herod as well having one.
I mean, it was... Rachel sat outside doing her work, so she might correct me by nodding or shaking her head. But it feels like it's accurate to say that kings at the time would have worn, like, outrageous shit to make themselves look really important and powerful.
Mm.
Sorry? Depends which country, apparently. So let's just say that Herod
was from where?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Did Pharaoh have like a wicked pointy hat, Rachel?
Pharaohs had like big old curtain hats.
ask you guys a question, please?
Yeah.
I've got two questions. One, are we coming to the end of this episode or what? Two, there's been so many digressions on this episode, and I keep trying to keep track of them as we go through because I know I've got to edit them out. Do you want me to just leave them all in?
Yeah.
Yeah, do it. Why not?
I think so.
The listeners, if you're in this far, you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. Like, I think I'm going to stop editing out all these stupid digressions from here on out.
I think they're astute digressions. They're part of the whole episode. It's part of the energy, part of the flow.
Yeah, you get to know us a bit more.
A conspiracy episode's always like this. It's like, yeah, they always get a bit silly. People know what they're in for when they listen to a Weird Tales conspiracy episode.
Yeah.
If anyone listening from the UK had a sort of Bible, it wasn't a Bible, it was like, what's the theme of the Bible? Like Christianity, a Christian picture book. It was like,
that's the theme what's of the theme Bible? Of the Bible?
Like, there was stories in it.
It's like a children's Bible stories.
That's the one. It would have been a children's story of Herod.
Yeah.
And what was the story of Herod?
Tis, I feel like I could show you a picture. I reckon I had the same... Because when I was a kid, it was like, yeah, there was like one children's... Well, there weren't. There were loads of children's Bibles around. But there was one that everyone seemed to have. Let's see if I can find it. If I find... here it is.
The pictures were quite lifelike.
Oh,
they weren't like caricatures. They were like, I wouldn't say Renaissance paintings, but they were like.
This is the one I had. This is the first one. It won't be this one then.
No, I don't think it's that one.
That looks like Where's Wally?
Yeah, that was.
Where's Jesus?
Yeah, where's Jesus?
That's what Herod was saying.
The Herod story. Anyway, let's start wrapping this up. Oh, my goodness. Tis, thanks so much for giving us a fun conspiracies episode.
That's all thanks, good. Tis. It was my pleasure. Tis, it was a very good one.
Tis, your job before we record next week is to speak to your parents and get them to find that Bible.
They would not even know that they gave me that book, you know.
Did you dream? I feel like maybe you dreamt this. They would have given it away by now.
Yeah, I want to find that book so bad.
Anyway, thank you so much, Tis. That was great.
Thank you, guys.
Lauren Davies.
Yes.
Yes.
Listener of the week.
Listener of the week.
Oh. Listener of the week.
Lauren Davies sent us a really nice email a few weeks back. And I thought I'd give her listener of the week because she was another person who had her wedding cancelled thanks to the big thing that we don't talk about.
Cancellation of the week.
Commiserations, Lauren Davies. But hopefully being listener of the week will make it up to you. This is absolutely better than a wedding.
Yeah, too right. And yeah, hopefully the wedding will be rescheduled soon.
Yes. Mm. So thanks very much, Lauren.
Thanks, Lauren.
While we're on the topic of listener of the week, Jeff Armstrong, who was listener last week, we said, oh, hasn't he already had it? No, he hadn't. We recognised his name because we read out one of his stories on a Ghost Stories episode last time.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
Pet of the week. Guys, do you want a cat or a dog?
Oh,
because I narrowed it down to these two.
Dog. It's always dog, isn't it, for me?
Cat.
Oh, God. Am I going to be the one who has to decide? I tell you what, I'm going to toss a coin here for dog or cat.
Another coin. This is a very coin-centric episode.
No one's ever going to see this coin again once I flip it. Oh, it's heads. It's the dog.
Yes!
So this is sent in from Katie from Texas. This is she sent in a picture of her dog and her cat. That's why I said we could only give it to one of them. But this is Lucy, their beagle.
I can't see that. Oh. Do we get to see the cat as lovely. Well, or do we? Is that we don't get to see cat of the week?
Maybe the cat will come up another time. Sorry, guys, you made
enough.
A decision.
Come on,
beagle.
So yeah, Lucy the beagle from Katie from Texas. I love it. A lot of people have been sending in their animals. It's such a stupid
this
segment
is so
we added
great.
In. But
I love it.
It's a great segment.
It really perks us up.
Yeah.
It's great because none of the listeners see. It's just a total
no,
prize.
We just hear us going, oh, look at this cute pet.
Yeah.
It brightens up our inbox. So if you do want to send your cat or dog or pet, we've had tortoises and all sorts, into us, or contact us in any other way, you can do so at unexplainableuk@mail.com or go to weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com and you can contact us on there. On that website, there's also links to where you can find us on social media. There's ways you can donate to the show. Loads of other stuff. I can't even remember all the stuff on there. You can also support my time editing the show at patreon.com/bobshoy. That's B-O-B-S-H-O-Y. Buy bonus episodes of this and my other podcasts at bobshoy.bandcamp.com. Oof. And yeah, listen to my other shows. They're really good as well. If you liked the mention of vampires briefly on this episode, the last episode of 5 Minute Folklore that I did was all about vampires. I do a retelling of the first opening chapters of Bram Stoker's Dracula. That episode is called Strigoi. And there's also a bumper, nearly 3 hour long episode of my podcast Known For, the filmography podcast, about Keanu Reeves. It's so long, coming the same week as this goes up. So that should be up now as well. Whew.
Sweet. Well done.
Thanks. I've got so much editing to do this weekend.
So that was longer than our demonology episode.
Yeah, it's the longest pod I've ever had to sit and edit. So.
Nice.
Amazing.
Well, thanks, Tiff.
That's amazing.
That was ace.
I kept the meat for last.
Yeah, that was great.
I don't know why we all went silent then.
No, I don't know.
It's like all of us had something else to say and none of us said it. Yeah, so thanks for listening, guys. I think we know what the outro music's going to be this week, don't we?
James Bond.
Men in Black.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
So I think we're done.
Sweet.
I think so.
Beef's hosting next time. And
I am.
Then you've got one more episode of me and Rick revisiting a previous topic. And then we're going to have a month off.
Yeah. Lovely.
Lovely.
Just in time for the summer.
And we've got a discussion planned, maybe.
Oh, yeah. And the first one back, Tiz has already got a plan for opening up next time with a discussion episode. So that should be fun. We just got to work out a guest and how to do that remotely.
Perfect.
That'd awesome. Be really fun.
Well, thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Until next time. Yeah, love you lots.
See ya.
Lots of love.
Love you lots.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I love you.
Mr. MIBs. Here come the MIBs. One thing I love about our podcast is that we've never had to do like ads where we have to actually hawk the product ourselves.
We got approached by one recently and I didn't even contact you because I was like, I don't really want to do that.
Who was the people who approached us?
I can't remember who it was. Like
was it Harry's
online...
Razors?
Is it Harry's Razors?
No, it was like it wasn't any of the ones you normally hear. It was like an
online.
Can we
bleep that? Can we bleep the advertisement of Harry's Razors?
Well, I won't I'll edit this whole thing out. We were approached by a company recently though. I can't remember who it was. We have been approached by like Harry's, I think, before though. Ages ago.
I think that was like one of the first that where they approached us.
But I think it's when I think like Buxton does it and he does it for Harry's.
Yeah, he'll make it part of the show a little bit though.
Job is to do voiceovers for ads. So for him, it's much a muchness. For
he
us,
can make it
totally,
fun.
Yeah.
I feel like it's out
it's
of character.
It's when they read these like emotionless reads where they all read the same script. I hear podcasters read the same basic script on multiple shows. I'm just like, oh God, stop shilling, baby.
I hate when it's like Squarespace. You know, I made my own website. I love it. It works. It's great. Squarespace.
Yeah.
Just, oh, no.
They do that a bit on Office Ladies.
Oh,
they
really?
They have a Squarespace one, but I think it was only on episode one or two. Like, they didn't do many. And I think Jenna Fisher put on Twitter, it's like, we're going to start advertising different things now because neither of us actually use Squarespace.
No, unless it was a company that I'm like, oh yeah, fuck yeah. Like, I would, and they approached us, I'm just always just like, nah, I'll just let Acast sort our advertising out.
Yeah.
Like, we're lucky enough that we're on Acast. Not every podcast gets to be on Acast. We are lucky to be on there.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
So,
if it was Yorkshire Tea, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Oh, exactly.
Pay us in bags.
Yeah.
A few bags.
Keep us going.
A few bags a mention. That's worth a few bags already.
I should reach out to some stuff and try and get some freebies again. Like we got all that BrewDog beer that time and the tea.
Oh, yes, man. Exactly.
Yeah. Some really good companies. Just cool ones. Yeah.
He's
He's not wearing a wetsuit, Pete.
Oh, that's great. Remembering that today.
Oh, I keep forgetting about that story. Wouldn't it be funny if I left that reference in? The listeners just be like, what's that about? Why is that so funny?
Yeah.
Why are they laughing for so long about a wetsuit?
They will never know. Well, maybe.
Episode 200, the wetsuit story.
I'm
going to take
my microphone off so you don't get
to
the
trip.
Thank you.
Don't forget your wetsuit. Guys dressed in black, remember that, just in case we ever face to face and make contact. The title held by me, MIB, means what you think you saw, you did not see. So don't blink, be what was dead is now gone. Black suit with the black Ray Bans on, walk a shadow, move in silence, guard against extraterrestrial violence. That'll do, pig.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.